Oh, it doesn't work on this one?
Okay.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk about the new directions we're taking in our Anthurium breeding program. For those of you who are not familiar with Anthurium, these are examples of Anthurium flower, and the colorful part is not really a flower. The colorful part is a modified leaf called spathe, and the true flowers are called the spadix. So our Anthurium breeding has been around for over 60 years. It started in 1950, and our breeding objectives have been traditionally focused on what the growers want. So we look at yield, for instance. 6 flowers per plant per year is deemed desirable. We want to have compact growth habits so that the growers don't have to top cut the plants as often. We look for spathe characteristics. I defined spathe earlier. So we want spathes that are easily packed. They won't crack. And, of course, color is of importance. This is an example of our race life evaluation. And 3 weeks is desirable for keeping. We also look for disease resistance or tolerance. Namely, anthracnose, bacterial blight, and Anthurium decline. And this is an example of Anthurium anthracnose. So it's also called black nose. The development of a new Anthurium variety takes about 16 years. So from pollination to our seedling selection will take about 4 years already. And then once we find a desirable seedling, we'll place it in tissue culture, and it will take about 3 years before we get enough material to send out for advanced testing. Once it goes through advanced testing, then we wait for the plants to mature, and it takes about 2 years from tissue culture to the first flower. It undergoes a juvenile period, and so you won't see what we call the mature production season until probably 4 years in the field. So it takes about 16 years, more or less, to develop a new variety. Knowing that there's a time involvement, a time investment, we have to look at ways to make our breeding program more efficient. So during our advanced test period, our input in the past mainly came from growers' field test locations, so primarily production-oriented. However, now knowing that we get input mainly from the growers, the flower distribution pattern has been changing over the years. So flowers are normally, in the past, were grown in the field, shipped via plane to a wholesaler, from the wholesaler to the flower shop, and then to the consumer. But now we have internet sales, and direct sales have been more and more prevalent, so that the wholesaler may not be the most important aspect in the production line, and most of our end users get their flowers directly from the growers. So there's a shift in the production scheme and the distribution scheme. Our growers have adapted to the distribution scheme by deciding to focus also in what do their direct sales or the people who buy directly from them need. And in this case, they're looking at what the designers need. So in 2007, a partnership between our industry, our growers, and designers started. And one of the outcomes of this collaboration was a design trend called Neotropica. Neo for new and Tropica for tropical characteristics. And instead of just looking at individual flowers or individual genera, the designers started to look at flower or tropical flowers in terms of color grouping. So not just Anthurium, but Anthurium, orchid, tropicals, gingers, etc. So that was another novel way of looking at floral product use. Since I mentioned that the designers have been the direct users or one of the beneficiaries of direct sales, they have also been very instrumental in pushing the growing floriculture industry. And mainly the growth areas in the floral design aspect world, or the floral design world, is using flowers for weddings and special events. These are types of flowers that you normally won't walk into flower shop and buy. So weddings and floral events, and special events, have been important aspects in the floral design realm. So in 2016, we finally got our act together and had floral designers, growers, and the breeders all work together. So it's been a while that and the attempt was to have everybody on the same page, because for the breeders, we worked mainly with the growers, and the growers worked mainly with the designers. So with this workshop, it was an attempt to put from breeding to end use to experience the total package and see how we can help each other and find out what do designers need. So these are not designers. These are a group of researchers trying to be designers and trying to encounter what are the challenges to designing. So what did we learn? As breeders, we never really considered stem flexibility or the length of stem in relation to other designs. We were also taught how to look at space color as it works with other flowers, not just anthuriums. So meaning to say that now we're looking at one commodity as part of a big product sample. This is an example of one of our selections that we had already started our conversations with designers. When we first evaluated this was already, we were looking at this and we thought, oh, it's neither here nor there. And so we thought, my research partner and I thought, okay, this is going to be on the chopping block. It's not a clear color. But what do we know about the design? The designers love this and said, oh, this is what we want, because you see there's more than one color. There's a pink, there's a cream, there's a red. And they said that having all these colors make the flowers work with other flowers and gives it a transitional element. What does that mean? This is what it means. It means to say that this particular selection over here can work equally with the pinks and greens. So if we looked at it by itself, we wouldn't have realized its value. But in a big arrangement that the designers do, we find the utility, and now we realized we really didn't know what we were talking about because we weren't designers. This is another selection that has been receiving designer input. If you notice, this was there's mostly production notes like color, crooked stems, space changes with maturity. However, one of our designers went to our cooperator's field, and one plus of having the designers go to the cooperator's field is having a virtual field day, because now with social media, not just one designer sees it, but all the other designer friends see it, and we're able to get feedback via social media. So look at the feedback to this particular selection. Is this extra large or exhibition size? And there's an answer, it's large. It's cool, it's pretty. So right by just one single post, we're getting feedback from designers that are not only in Hawaii, but wherever they are. We also have, what is the average stem length and variety? So having the designers post on social media, we even have even more questions and even more things to consider about, traits to consider about the particular selection. We also use photographs or email or different methods to contact and show seedling selections before we even put it in tissue culture, knowing it takes 3 years to clone enough material for field tests. So now we show our designers different selections, and that helps us dovetail or zero on which varieties we will put into tissue culture for multiplication. In this instance, we sent a photograph with different selections, and then we get feedback about the colors are good. We also get feedback as to which ones look sturdy and which ones are not existing in commercial production. Another thing that our designers noticed was that there are some similarities between existing varieties we had released. So this is the one on the right. It's called Princess Aiko, but it does not have a counterpart in different color schemes. So the designer said, we want those two on the left to be cloned and tested because it might be useful in their design work. Again, the importance of input, even at the seedling selection stage, is important. This was one variety that I thought was interesting. I thought it was a nice color. And the feedback I got was, oh, it's a nice shape. But it's the contrast between the space, which is off slightly white, and the red spadix was too much. And that extreme contrast was not as easy to design with. And so even for bridal work, a lighter contrast is also desired. However, when I sent this picture, we had an older photograph on the left side. I mean, an older flower on the left side. If you notice, there's a green one. That green shape is not in production yet. So the designers were saying, we want that color instead. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe this one is not really for purging, but maybe we can try and see if we can get a good yield for the green of the older, more mature flower on the left. But this brought to mind, remember I mentioned high contrast, in 1993, our program released Rudolph the Red-Nosed Anthurium. And we thought it was going to be a desirable white variety with a red nose. Remember, we weren't designers. We were breeders. We thought, and the growers thought, oh, yeah, it's a good white variety. But it never gained consumer acceptance. Now, this variety took 15 years to develop. Had we known what we had known now, maybe we had directed our efforts to something else instead. So this brings home the point that as breeders, the entire production supply chain is important. Many times we focus on our needs as well as the growers' needs, but we had failed to recognize the importance of the designer's needs, and now we are taking that extra step to incorporate designer's input not only in advanced selection but as early as seedling selection so that we gain more efficiency in the breeding process. Thank you. The question was, when you see interest online, what is the feedback time to get back to them? To get the product to them. Many times, by the time the designers get to see the product in the field, we probably are maybe 2 years to 2 to 4 years from release. So at least what they see in the field is something that will be attainable, not within 14 years, definitely, but at least the lead time is much less.
Let's go ahead and thank our speakers one more time.